This episode of TMS is brought to you by our friends at Hostpapa. Hostpapa's powerful web hosting solutions and cloud-based productivity tools are perfect for small business owners, digital entrepreneurs, and freelancers. Go to hostpapa.com/morning today and use our exclusive promo code MORNING to save 15% off their popular shared web hosting packages. That's hostpapa.com/morning. And by Harry's. Get a close shave with the best blades available. For less than you're paying now, go to harrys.com and use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for $5 off your order. That's harrys.com and the code MORNINGSTREAM. Coming up on TMS, construct this.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts.
Pets made all the money.
Netflix and Star Trek are like this.
Star Trek. Was that meant as a private message, was it?
That Prince letter is expensive.
I really blew that read. Major spoilers and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
What happened? Where are you from?
From Planet 7 in the third galaxy in the fourth quadrant.
Where?
It is not necessary to repeat information which is correct in the original statement.
These Pokemon creatures are like virtual cyber demons.
Yes. The Morning Stream.
The Morning Stream. Garblurgablurg.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to The Morning Stream. It is The Morning Stream for Monday, the 18th of July, 2016. I'm Scott Johnson. There be Brian Ibbett.
Yarr.
Just off the starboard bow.
Kind of funny, you're not the first person I've heard do a pirate sound today, because I was listening to Panzer talking about the new combat rogue, or the new outlaw rogue, as it's called, in World of Warcraft.
Yeah, what color's her hair, though, today? I just need to know.
Oh, it's pink.
Okay,
Isn't it always pink? I mean, different shades of, like, fuchsia, red, pink.
It's usually pink, and as you were watching her, did you say to yourself, boy, the last time I saw you in person was when I stole your chair at that place while we were trying to get food. Did you do that?
I, we got to a table before she got to the table. I wouldn't call it stealing. Basically, I used my subtlety rogue. I threw down a smoke bomb. I grabbed the table, and then I killing spreed her and her friends.
A million. Amazing.
These are all World of Warcraft terms, people.
Yeah.
Relax.
It's okay, everybody. We're nerds. So, yeah, that's the patch shaping up nicely. It's going to be a big day tomorrow.
Jeez, I'm going to have to relearn how to do everything all over again. I'm actually going to, I've been combat rogue for the last two or three or four expansions. Mm-hmm. I'm thinking, even though Outlaw is a lot of fun, I might make that my secondary spec, and I might go Subtlety. Subtlety has some of the things I miss from the other specs.
Well, you know what's nice?
What's that?
Is in this patch, starting tomorrow, you can switch between all three. Anytime you want.
What?
Anytime you like.
What?
Well, in town or at rest areas, but you can't do it. So you can't do it in the middle of a...
Like in the middle of a fight.
Yeah, but you can just switchy nilly. There's no more dual spec.
I didn't know that. See, I should be... If only there was a podcast that talked about World of Warcraft.
We went deep this Friday. You should listen to that episode.
Did you? All right, this last
it was our pre... It was our pre-patch extravaganza where we talked about everything that was coming, although we didn't get real nitty-gritty about per-class stuff. So
did you title it 18 Things You Didn't Know About the New Legion Expansion?
Nope, I titled it Patrick is Really, Really Excited is what I titled. anyway, so good. That's fun. It's World of Warcraft fans unite. We got some big stuff coming up. Tomorrow's the big day. All right, I may have words today with somebody. You know, and part of this was maybe the headache yesterday. I had a horrible headache yesterday, so I thought, back up.
Yeah, because we talked about this pre-show, but we didn't say anything.
Yeah, thank you, everybody, for the avalanche of birthday wishes yesterday. That was super nice. I'm always surprised by the volume, and so just thanks, everybody, for that. That was super sweet and nice of everybody.
And keep in mind that's really good practice for August 2nd.
Yeah,
August 2nd. For real with me.
That's right. Brian, this is just a warm-up. Just a warm-up for the big day, the big dance,
right.
Which is August 2nd.
That's going to be a show day. We're doing a show that day.
Yeah.
Nice.
Making Brian work on his birthday.
That's right. And then we'll eat cake the whole episode.
That's right. So, you know, my construction construction woes have been a thing we've talked about on the show. Nothing too serious. They're building, you know, these wonderful townhomes near us, and they're fine. They're going to be real nice when they're done. They are very expensive, and so it means the entire neighborhood, in theory, should improve its in value. Everyone's home value should go up a little bit. Like, all of it's good.
Right.
Except this, you know, once in a while something will happen. I'll go outside, and there'll be 15 people of questionable legal status, citizen status, loitering on my lawn, leaving stuff there, leaving wrappers and cigarettes and whatever. Fine. I don't complain. I haven't complained once. And I have a card with the guy's name on it. By the way, his name is Mike Douglas, not the actor.
But, and not the talk show host.
And not the talk show host. Mike Douglas, the hey, I hope everything's going okay guy from the big construction company that's doing these projects. And we've never called him once, even though he said, call me if there's any problems. When they had big slabs of wood on my grass killing it, I didn't call them. When there was a toilet inches from my yard, a big blue freaking nightmare toilet with downwind blowing at me, I didn't complain and I didn't say anything.
The music, the...
all of it. Yeah. When that stuff was playing, I was fine. It was great. In fact, I enjoyed it. Here's a little bit here. Oh, yeah. Right? I get into it. I'm like, right. It's like, right. Fine. I get it. Let's do what you got to do. And then the day that all their trash blew over from the big windstorm that we had from that construction site and ended up in my yard, what did I do? Nothing. I went out and raked it, put it in the trash. I was a good citizen. I didn't complain. I've not complained about the noise, the 6 a.m. on a Sunday because they're behind.
No way, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
So they're changing a tire.
Yeah, they're in a, what do you call it?
Jiffy Lube.
Yeah, but I have this stuff where it happens. That happens all the time, and yet we are just like, you know what? This will all pass, and I think it's, you are a good citizen if you, I don't know, if you just endure, right?
I mean, there's people are so quick at sometimes, right, mm-hmm. to fly off the handle instead of saying, all right, let's, there's a point to be tolerant up until a certain level.
Exactly.
Right? But you got to be tolerant. And there's, you know, there's things he's like, all right, yeah, you know, that's irritating. But you know what? If we all as a society flew off the handle every time something wasn't exactly the way that we wanted it,
yep.
we'd pretty much be millennials. But if we, you know, are a little bit tolerant up to a point.
Take that. That was a sick burn, dude. Sick burn.
Sorry, I'm kidding.
He's joking.
You skull cap wearing, you humongous beard growing latte drinkers.
Yeah, you lovely people. Is what
no, but seriously, I mean, you know, as a society, and I'm going to slip on the George Costanza hat here. We're living in a society here.
Yeah.
And we need to be tolerant up to a point before we start firing on all cylinders and going apeshit.
I agree. I'm a big fan of that. And so we have done that. Now, they just put cement in for the driveways for these things. All of them are fine, except one of them, my understanding from the approved city plans, was going to be this like curved thing that went out to the main road and would not interfere even close to us. That's not what they did.
Oh, no.
What they did was it's a single car garage for this one, and it's butts up right against my fence so that... And I went and tested this with my car, my tiny little Ford, because I wanted to use the smallest example, right, to see how this would go. There is not a chance in hell they don't back up and bust my fence 50 times past Wednesday.
Really?
Not a chance. There's
like
no
that
way.
Like close they put it?
It's so close. It is like broken close. It is like, you look at Brian, I'm going to take a bunch of pictures and show it to people. All you have to do is look at it and go, who in the hell approved this? Like it is bonkers psycho. There's three ways out of this. They either tear all that up and do the curved one out to the road like this were originally going to do. I'm guessing they avoided that because that's like an extra $25,000 or whatever it cost them to make that in labor and stuff. Or they have to buy that chunk of land that I own that this would butt into, which I will not sell for anything less than $30,000 or more, by the way. I won't do it.
Right, okay.
And then it occurred to me, I don't live... This isn't like Los Angeles where it's 72 degrees all day, every day.
Right.
When winter comes, and winter is coming.
Winter is coming.
When it comes, we get so much snow during certain parts of the year that the snow plows come through there. And that is an area back there where the snow plows shove it all up into a big wad next to where I live, which is fine. We don't care because we don't, you know, we don't park there or anything.
Sure.
But they shove it all right there. That place is now the entry to this dude's driveway, this person's driveway, geez. Whoever this person's okay. going to be. They can't get in or out if that happens. I mean, it's a wall of snow. There's no way. They're not thinking about this at all. Like, there's no way that works for anybody in the winter. Thirdly, any car bigger than a little two-door nothing is going to not fit. It literally doesn't fit. There's no diagonal space. And they can't back out and go forward. They have to back out backwards every time they leave and pull in forward if they fit, right? And they will run over the landscaping and the flower thing and the tree thing next to it. Absolutely will run over that just to get in there.
Every single time, just because it's...
It's a joke. Geez. It's like the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. And so, the other option is, I put a big cement block on my corner thing.
On your property, on your land.
On my land. And they're going to ruin every car that ever tries to go in there. Now, it wouldn't be me encroaching on anybody. It would just be me protecting my fence. Because as it stands right now, it's an okay fence, but it's not going to handle it. It's going to fall if they hit it. Then while I'm out there looking at it, I notice they've already done that once. There's a huge, one of the bars is all bent in and
mangled
pushed back.
Up. Oh, no.
And I'm like, gosh, dang it. Freaking during construction sometime, and I missed it, they freaking bent my fence in. So then I'm just all fired up. I've got this migraine that won't leave me alone. Like, I'm old man Johnson, like hardcore.
Right,
history.
Yeah.
And so today I'm going to call the city and just say, we're starting there to say, your plans that you approved are jacked. They'll probably say, all right, well, blah, 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 we need to do a survey. They'll come out and do a survey or whatever. And then I'll say, then I'll probably have to talk to the builder people and go, all right, listen, Mike Douglas. I loved you in Romancing the Stone. You were excellent in that. And they made you look so young in Ant-Man. I don't even know how they did it. It was fantastic. But what's Sharon Stone like naked? No, I won't say that. I'll say, what's the deal? What's the deal?
What's the deal with Catherine Zeta-Jones? Am I right?
And I know what they're going to say. They're just going to say, oh, me. And here's the other thing. Now, this guy, whoever will live there could probably just park in the space that's there. But now that blocks his neighbor. It's just it's not going to freaking work.
It causes a problem regardless of where it goes.
Oh my gosh, it's so bad.
So the cement block is a good idea. Yeah. Well, I say you take it one step further, make it a little garden gnome that looks like it'd just be easy to kind of move. And if you hit it with your car, it's just going to knock over, but have like a 3-foot cement root to it. So you dig out a hole, you fill it with cement.
Yeah.
And then you put the garden gnome on top. When everything kind of hardens, it's all connected. It's all one piece.
Yeah.
And if somebody thinks that, if I bump into that garden gnome, then no big deal.
I wanted to leave the imprint of a gnome's face in the back of the person's car. Right. Smiling with his mustache going, I'm going to do it.
Visit travelocity.com.
Chat room says, call building inspection now. Well, I'm doing this. I'm calling them today. This is happening. I'm freaking pissed.
Oh, if only you could record both sides of that call.
Oh, it's so annoying, dude. And nobody in their right mind. Like, when they were building it, I'll bet you the least English-speaking person who had the smallest job to do probably looked at it and went, okay, that's what it says to do.
Right, exactly.
Like, it's the
just
dumbest
follow
thing.
Orders.
So dumb. All right, let's talk about one positive thing. I think it's positive. I saw Ghostbusters, and I had a realization. And I know you saw it, too. Mm-hmm. I'm going to tell you real quick what I came to with this.
Sure.
Ghostbusters 1, beloved film. 2, garbage. But 1, you know, everyone loves Ghostbusters.
Sure.
Why? Well, here's why. It's the best comedic minds writing and acting at the time that we had. Mm-hmm. Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis. These guys are, you know, legends, right? Right. So they're the best we have working that during that time. They were at the height of their stuff, killing it in a movie like that. If you take them out of Ghostbusters, if you remove that aspect, Ghostbusters is super stupid. It's just stupid. It's a silly movie.
Right. I mean, it's a silly premise. I don't know. I mean, that movie for me is just so entrenched in nostalgia. I can't separate the two. I can't look at it without the nostalgic love eyes.
Yeah, but if you take
Does that make sense?
Yeah, but if you took those actors out of it, it'd be dumb. Like, nobody would care.
I can't though,
I
Scott.
Can. I can take them.
They're
out.
Fused. Like adamantium to Wolverine's bone skeleton.
I can totally
not magnetoize that. I cannot pull the adamantium off of the bones.
I can see them. I can see it with just a bunch of no-name actors who aren't really great and aren't funny. And then that movie suddenly becomes super, super stupid. Outside of the Ray Parker Jr. song, it's really not. There's nothing there. But when you put all these people, Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis and all these amazing people in it, you end up with something greater than its parts. I think that the new one is the same thing. I think the new one is, if you take out these incredibly talented comedians, the funniest women working today, in my opinion.
I think so.
Yep. Really, truly a collection of some really freaking funny ladies.
Oh, yeah. Kate McKinnon right now to me is, she can do no wrong.
She's killing it.
You could put her in every single movie ever and I'd be completely fine with that.
Yeah, and I guarantee you her time on SNL is limited because she's going to be sucked into the Hollywood machine so fast their heads are going to spin. So, but you take all of them out of this, Kristen Wiig, her, all of them. It's stupid. It's again, it's just stupid without him. So, so I guess everybody clear your heads of all the stupid conversation about, you're ruining my childhood. F all of that. Here's how to ruin your childhood. Imagine Ghostbusters without Bill Murray and crew in it. And you'll suddenly realize, oh, yeah, this is really, really dumb. Like, it's dumb. It's a dumb movie, but it's made so much better by these talented people.
For sure.
To me, that's all of it. I agree. It's everything.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I really enjoyed it. It wasn't groundbreaking. It wasn't earth shattering.
It wasn't even controversial. It wasn't even the big controversial feminist message everybody feared it was going to be.
No.
It was nothing like that. It was just freaking Ghostbusters. They're busting ghosts.
And I'm really glad that it wasn't a. You know, you had some similar. You had four women. You had a couple of them that kind of maybe mirrored the original characters, but I actually think that they did kind of serve different purposes. Kate McKinnon was not just a Harold Ramis.
No, I mean that was clearly kind of like her angle, but she took it and made it her own. I think that McCarthy was basically channeling Aykroyd, but in her own way. You know,
very Melissa McCarthy type character. I mean, it is the usual like, oh gosh, yeah, that escalated quick. Oh, that hurt.
Yeah. She's kind of got one thing, and she does it really well.
She does it really, really well.
Sure.
But
and I found her endearing in this, and I like Kristen Wiig she's like Venkman in that she's reluctant. She doesn't have the like sarcastic swagger that Bill Murray brought to that idea, but she's reluctant to get back into busting ghosts and. And then she does, and she's your Peter Venkman, but also makes it her own. Like, it's just fine. Yeah. It's fine. Yeah. But there's no big message in there. There's don't go in there thinking that.
It's a surface level cake frosting premise, and it's just made better by the cake of those four women and their great acting.
Yeah, they're amazing. Yeah. Strip them out.
Dumb
movie. This is going to surprise you. I could have done with a little less Hemsworth.
I could have done with almost no Hemsworth. I didn't like that at all because we're not going to spoil anything because who cares? But I mean, I do care, but it's, let's just say that nobody's that dumb. I'll just say it that way. Right? Like that's just, you know, when you start behaving like that, you actually get put in a state like mental institution.
And they show him being dumb in the trailer. And so that's not a big surprise. Yeah. I think it's also not a big surprise. There are cameos in there.
Yeah.
Of people from the first movie.
Yeah.
And there was one specific one that I wanted to see if you caught.
Was it the statue?
No, it was not the statue. I know, but everybody catches the statue.
Right.
Did you see Ivan Reitman?
Oh, no. What was he doing?
So
I saw
at the very end, there's during the credits, I believe, or right before the credits, they're interviewing the mayor for a live TV broadcast. And you see a guy who is hailing a taxi behind him, but the guy is clearly on screen. The guy behind him is clearly on screen, like looking over at the camera and kind of looking around for a taxi, and kind of stays in the one place for a long time and then finally puts his hand up to hail the taxi.
That was Reitman?
That was Reitman.
All right, that's awesome. That's pretty great, actually. Yeah. I missed that. No, I saw everybody else, though.
Except for one person, but...
Yeah, except for one person who just refuses to leave Canada.
I guess so, which is funny because...
Well, he's all tiny now, right? He's a little tiny guy now.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And people will get from that maybe what I'm talking about. But yeah, he doesn't show up. But everybody else does, and they do in funny, cool ways, I think. My favorite, I think, I love Aykroyd. Like, I just freaking love him. I could watch Aykroyd peel a banana. Like, I love that guy.
Yeah.
He's also executive producer, which I didn't know that.
Right. Yeah.
Which is interesting. So, anyway, here it is. It's a good, enjoyable time. It's not a bad time. It's not a horrible movie. It's not a great movie. It's just fine.
Yeah.
It's like in the 65 to 70 range.
You know? I'd say if you can go to a matinee, for sure, go see it. Save a little money that way. I'd say it's still worth seeing in the theaters and you know. It's fun.
Ladies are a hoot, man.
They really are.
They are some of the best comedians working today, period.
No argument.
Yeah. And they make all of the material better, just like those guys did in 1984.
Yep.
Just like they did.
For sure.
All right.
All right.
Why don't one of you call us and participate in today's Stump Daryl? 801-895-4724. That's 801-895-4724. I said that wrong. 801-895-4724. And
you know, while we're waiting for somebody to get online, something else I discovered.
What's that?
Is that Tina and I just, you know, whatever movie we see, however late we get to the theater, however early, no matter which seat we take, we are going to have people around us who just talk and cough through the whole movie.
Oh, see, again, once again. And I had a similar thing, except the girl was cracking me up. She was scared the whole time because every time there was a ghost thing, she was scared. And she kept going, "Dad, what's he looking in the sink for? Dad, what's the deal with the door?" Like, she was loud.
Nice.
But she kind of made us laugh, so it was fine.
Cool. All right, hey caller, I'm sorry. You're getting to hear the sauce. How the sausage is made here in TMS.
Or the sausage. Sure, either sauce. One of those. Sausage. Hi, who's this? Who is on the line with us? What's your name?
My name's Megan.
Well, hello, Megan. It's nice to hear. You know what? I gotta say. We get so much dude bro in here in the contest. It's nice to hear a lady once in a while. That's
all. You know
what?
It feels like we get about one-third of our contestants are ladies, which is great.
Yeah.
I'm women.
Yeah.
Women, misses, ladies.
I don't know. What do you prefer to be called when someone sees you and doesn't know you yet? What do you want to be called? Lady? Woman?
I personally use lady a lot, so all right. Lady.
All right. Yeah. Well, you seem like a very nice lady.
Excellent. Where are you from, Megan?
I'm from Calgary, Alberta, but right now I'm in Salt Lake City.
Whoa!
Oh, wow, really? Hello. I'm staring at Scott's house from my car.
I'm right out front. I tried to park next door, but can't because they build it bad. What brings you to Salt Lake? What are you doing here?
We're doing a road trip. We drove down from Calgary down the coast of California, and we're driving up the middle.
Oh, well, very nice.
Wow. You coming through Denver?
We are not. We have to go through Montana.
Well, then you're just going to have to swing by Scott's house and pick up your prize in person.
Yeah,
here's his address.
Here it is. Come by and grab it.
Show up after 10 p.m. before 6.
It sounds like a fun road trip. I hope it goes well. It's been nice and sunny and stuff, so you haven't had to worry about weird weather or anything. That's good.
We drove to Las Vegas, and it was 45 degrees. It was hot.
Yeah, it's...
What?
Well, and yeah. If you talk...
I use the proper temperature system, so...
Yeah, the space points
was
up in Canada.
Was this a Michael Bay film? What?
Well, I'm glad that you made it through. Today's Stump Daryl is going to have you in it, and if you get this right, you're going to win a prize. It is Vertiginous Golf.
That's right.
It's a weird golf game on Steam, absolutely free. And you know what? I'll throw in a weird Norwegian CD just because I feel like it.
Nice. Well, you better send it to her before she gets back up to Calgary because it's going to be a little more expensive.
And it may get caught up in customs. What the hell is going on, by the way? Canadian customs are the worst lately. I don't know what's happening over there. It's terrible.
We're having a mail strike threat.
Oh, is that what's going on? I got people who are like, hey, I just barely got my free Comic Book Day prints from May. I'm like,
oh my gosh, really?
Are you kidding me?
Wow.
It's insane. Anyway, all right. Well, that's not good. I thought Canada was always perfect and no one was ever having a problem with anything.
Oh, I wish.
Yeah. See, it's such bullcrap. We get fed this story of all the sorry up there, but really, it's falling apart, man.
Yes.
All right. Brian, explain the rules, the category, and let's do this.
Megan, let's tell you what this game is all about. We're going to get Daryl on the phone here in just a moment and ask him a trivia question. What we want you to do is tell us whether or not you think Daryl is going to get that question right or wrong. And if you are correct, as Scott mentioned, you will win a copy of Vertiginous Golf on Steam, as well as a Norwegian CD. Here is your category, Guardians of the Galaxy.
Ooh. Yeah. You like that movie?
We just saw a new photo from the sequel, and we see the new Guardian.
Oh, who's the new? Can you say?
Mantis.
Oh, Mantis? Really? Ooh. No, that's not the same as Black Mantis from the Justice League, yeah.
Yeah, no, it would be a completely different name and a different comic book company and a different gender.
Well, you know how they always kind of copy each other, right?
Mantis is a lady with antenna.
Oh, all right. She probably is fine with lady as well.
Yeah.
So what do you think there, Megan? Do you think that Daryl's going to get that right or wrong?
Well, I've seen that movie quite a lot, so I'm going to say right.
Okay, cool.
Black Manta.
You're able to help them out, too, so that's good.
Chat room corrected me. It's Black Manta is the correct.
Black Manta.
Yeah,
we're basically a replica of his swamp-based headquarters on his head, or vice versa.
I love that idea. Yeah. I love the idea of having your helmet specifically designed after your headquarters, or the other way around, maybe.
Right. Either way, it's great. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden, you know, when Trump is president, he's going to walk around with a White House replica on his head.
Oh, don't say things like when Trump is president. All right, that's all good and well. Let's add Daryl to this call and see what you think, Daryl. You said right, so we're going to see if he'll do it right.
Yes. Hey, Black Manta, where do you live? Points to his head and says, a big version of this.
Yeah, just look for this. Where is it? Some swamp somewhere. I don't know.
Meanwhile,
back at the Daryl of Justice. Hello, Daryl.
Oh, hello.
Hi, what's going on with you? How are you?
Oh, I'm okay. Oh, I'll get that stupid background thing again. Let me delete that hang up on it.
Yeah, delete that.
You're hearing us in the background of us?
It's because it keeps playing in the rear, which is not good. You know, playing in the rear.
Daryl doesn't like any rear play.
No rear play for Daryl. Daryl, let's play your theme song and let's do this thing.
Yeehaw, I'm feeling good today and I can't even identify why.
This is a weird version. I don't remember this version. I don't think I did that right. I did not mean for that to be different. It is Stump Daryl time with Daryl Skills, brought to you by
the brand new Bleacher Report esports podcast called Rally Point. It's coming in 2 weeks. Scott, tell us more about it.
All right, so I've had this little secret project going on. I am a co-host for this. So the Bleacher Report, if you're not familiar with it, so like imagine ESPN, but this is Turner Broadcasting's version of this. Mm-hmm. You probably, any sports fans out there have heard of Bleacher Report. They're making a huge push into esports. And as a result, they tapped me and a couple other guys to be a part of the podcast that covered twice a week podcast that covers everything esports, and we're talking the full gamut all the way up and down the line. We'll have the international happens, we'll have somebody there reporting live from the international and then talking to us about it. All kinds of cool stuff. If you want to find out more, go to bleacherreport.com/esports. First episode in a couple of weeks. And it's been fantastic working with those guys, and I'm really excited about it. So it's a new gig for Scott.
That's so cool. Congratulations. That's an awesome, sounds good.
I'll be working with Seven. That is his real name. Nothing to do with Seinfeld, by the way. And with Brian Huff, my old pal from The Creep. And they're both stoked. I'm stoked. Everyone's stoked. We've done a couple of run-throughs. Very happy with how things turned out. Here's the best part, Brian. You want to know the best part?
Tell me the best part.
We have editors and post people. And
what?
Yeah. And music. Like, I don't have to be that knob-turning guy all the time. Someone else gets to turn the knobs while we just hammer people home with content.
You're going to get your own Bryce, basically, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it's all very exciting. So nice. Check for that coming soon. BleacherReport.com/esports for details. Okay.
Wow, what network?
It's it's a podcast, so it's the world is the network, and Bleacher Report is the company, so there you go.
Oh, cool.
Check.
All of them, Daryl. All of them.
Daryl, here's
your... ESPN 7 or something.
Well, it's like ESPN, but they're a competitor, technically, to ESPN. Disney owns ESPN. Turner Broadcasting owns Bleacher Report. So they're sort of rivals, I guess. Yes, I suppose. Anyway, Daryl, it's time for a question for you. This question is a Guardians of the Galaxy question. How familiar and how much love do you have for that film?
I have much love for it.
All right, good.
Good answer.
One of the better Marvel adaptations, many of us believe. I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. Here's your question. Oh, Megan's on the phone. Hi, Megan. Say hi to Daryl.
Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
She's in Salt Lake City today, but normally she's from Canada, so she's normally above you. Today she's below you and near me.
You know, I talk about Canada that way, and now my daughter thinks that Canada is in space because it's above.
Oh, that's cool, though.
Floating above us.
Encourage that.
Space Station Canada.
Never have her stop thinking that. That's an amazing idea. Space Station Canada. I love it. Like a big helicarrier, just with people
right,
on it.
Yes, exactly.
Guardians of the Galaxy is your topic. And here's how the question goes. Guardians of the Galaxy has an awesome soundtrack. Some might say it was off the chain. Oh, Mike. However, one song on the soundtrack was only used in the trailer and not in the final film. What song appears in the soundtrack but isn't actually used in the film itself? Here are your options. A, Five Stair Steps. With their song, Oh Child. B, Norman Greenbaum with the song Spirit in the Sky. C, Redbone with the song Come and Get Your Love. Or D, Elvin Bishop with Fooled Around and Fell in Love. So those are your options. Ooh, mm-hmm. Child, Spirit in the Sky, Come and Get Your Love, or Fooled Around and Fell in Love.
Look at my copy of the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix cassette here and just see if I know the answer. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, interesting.
Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Huh. Oh, yeah. That's fascinating. Mm. So, Daryl, what do you think, man?
Oh, gee. There's two of the last two have something to do with love.
They do. They both
it's
do.
True.
Come and Get Your Love and Fool Around and Fell in Love.
I don't even know what those are.
One of them sounds like an invitation. The other one sounds like the actual party, doesn't it?
Right. Yes.
Come
exactly.
And get your love. And then after the party, we fooled around and fell in love.
Right.
And by fool around, I assume they're not. I mean, what are they getting all blue on us there? What do they mean there? They mean,
I was going for a one night stand and accidentally became attracted to the person that I slept with.
Got
and,
it.
No, I don't have her number.
I was hoping it was we
missed connections on Craigslist.
We egged old lady Wilson's house is what I thought they meant. Okay. So
do you remember any of the points during the movie that some of these songs were used, Daryl? Does that help you at all, maybe?
Maybe the first two. Mm. Or maybe not. I don't know. I'm so horrible with music.
Well, who knew it'd be a music question?
I'll need some input from Megan.
All right.
Well, I'm positive the first one was it, and then the rest I'm fuzzy. So.
I'll be honest. That's where I'm at. That's the only one I know for sure is in there, just because I remember the. The context of that was...
It's funny. There's another one that I think, if you think about it, is one of the most memorable music scenes in the movie, and it's one of the other three that is not the first one.
Mm, maybe.
Is it the last one?
I'm not saying a word. That would be kind of cheating, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it's not our job.
Like that.
I'll say this, Daryl. It's one of these. If that helps you.
It's one of those four, yep. For sure.
Well, my first thought is the last one. I guess I should just stick with my first thought.
All right, we'll see if your first thought is the good thought. Daryl says, the last one. Is that correct?
Boy, didn't we just tell you not to do that?
It is incorrect! Oh, it was not the right one, and by the way...
So you get nothing! You lose!
I feel bad doing this because Megan's in Salt Lake, and I think she's super sweet, and I'm really glad that she called. And Megan, I may send you a little something in the email just because I feel like being nice. Have fun while you're here. Daryl, the incorrect answer was that you just said. The correct answer is Norman Greenbaum's Spirit in the Sky. How's that go? Spirit in the sky.
Going up to the spirit in the sky. That's where I'm going to go when I die.
Why do you think that wasn't in the movie? It's weird. Seems like
I don't
know.
It's used in the trailers, but didn't use it in the movie. And it's on the soundtrack.
Oh. Yeah.
Sometimes scenes get cut or you know, they figure it fits well with the movie, but we just don't have a good place for it.
So listen, Cover Man, I got a question. When you and I were teenagers, there was a very popular cover of this. that was being played all the time. Who was that? Do you remember?
I believe it was Doctor and the Medics is the one you're thinking of.
Yes.
That's the one that I remember.
And they were all like, I'd go to this Xenon dance club thing on ladies' night.
Yeah.
Not because I was a lady, but because all the ladies would come that night. Just so everyone knows what I mean. And they would play that all the time. That was always a thing they played. And I didn't know it was a cover. I thought they made it up. So, you know.
Yeah, I'm amazed you didn't remember the Come and Get Your Love by Redbone, because that, I think, is the most memorable, for me, the most memorable song in the film.
Where he's kicking the...
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's a Star-Lord. The very intros, the credits are coming on, and he's dancing his way through the...
You're right. I should have noticed that.
Yeah.
Daryl, you might be familiar with the tomb.
Fooled Around and Fell in Love, I think, is playing when Star-Lord and Gamora are talking about Kevin Bacon and Footloose, and they're about to have their kissy-kissy moment.
Right. Here's a version of it.
That's right. Fooled around and ordered a second order of chimichangas.
All right, Daryl, well done. You've made Megan's trip. Well, the only dark spot on her trip was your answering this question.
Way to ruin her vacation.
Well done. Daryl, but we don't have any food, do we?
I don't have anything. Do we have anything?
No.
I have nothing.
No.
We need food, people. People, we need food.
We got nothing. So because of that, this is where we bid you adieu. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. Daryl, play a game with us with the Google deal where we play this little theme for it. Here you go. Oh, that's just not it. Hold on.
Wow.
That's not it at all.
That's GMSPN.
I Googled it.
All right. Google Apocalypse. Google Plex O'Clock. What is it?
Sure. Google Plex O'Clock. That's it. Exactly. Well done. You've nailed it. And it never needs to be said ever again in its original form.
Google is Maximus. There
you go.
Gosh, dang it, dude. Frick. All right.
Well, now you fooled around long enough so that my computer finally got unlocked.
By the way,
fooled
I love that.
Fooled around and computer got locked.
I love that every time I say something dumb.
Uh-huh.
The chat room yells legacy podcast.
Or like as a glitch with the soundboard or anything like that. Yes,
yeah, it's that's actually great, you guys. Do not stop. Bunch of freaking chuckleheads. By the way, Daryl, this is the Oprah Winfrey intro song from 1987. Isn't this great? Doesn't this make you just want to, you know, hey, mom, I'm home.
What? How could she possibly replace that with I'm Every Woman?
Did she do that?
Yeah. I'm Every Woman.
Really?
Yes.
That's her new theme?
That's her, that what? Well.
Or was her new theme?
That was her new theme, yeah.
Did she just, because she could buy it? That's probably wise, because she was so rich then, she could just buy someone's song?
Probably, yes.
Wow. All right. Yeah. Well, I missed this one. What was the Madonna movie? That's what it reminds me of.
Yeah, Desperately Seeking Susan.
Desperately Secret Seeking Susan. Secret Susan.
Desperately Secret Susan.
All right, anyway, sorry. So give us our thing. What's our search? Or tell us the rules.
Well, I clicked on this about 2 minutes ago, and it's taken that long to load, so now I can do this.
All right.
Oh, perfect. You've stalled even better the second time.
Yeah.
You have an instinct for it now.
Oh, and I sent you a file that says how old you are.
Oh, what? Hold on. Oh, by the way, there's three or four people out there that got the number wrong. They're all making me older than I am. And last night, my wife forgot what age I hit. That's what it is. This is what it's taught me. I've hit the point where now nobody knows. Now they're like,
I actually have to admit, I don't even know. Really. Like, if you were to pin me down and ask me how old I am, I could give you one of two numbers, sequential numbers, and I'm not exactly sure which one of them is correct.
See, that just sucks. That sucks in its own right. Doesn't it kind of suck to not
know? So if you know how old you are, tell me, and now I'll know how old I am in 2 weeks.
Brian, on the 2nd of August, you will be 47 years old.
Okay, good. I'm glad that was one of my two choices.
Yeah.
So then my file was correct.
Oh, was it? Okay.
But then you can play it.
Oh, you've sent a file?
If you have it available.
Yeah, is it on Skype or where did you send it?
Email.
Oh, hold on.
A whole bunch of people have requested this on Twitter.
So. I don't see it. When did you send it?
On your birthday.
Oh. Did I not get it from you? Hold on. Oh, there it is. Yeah. Okay, I'm playing it.
47.
Wow. There's more. Maybe. Or no, it's just trash at the end.
Stuff's still falling.
Yeah, I forgot there's that Star Trek number thing.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh,
that actually is good. That made me happy there.
That's good that you get a 42 on the way into your 40s with has some good geek reference, mm-hmm. and then a 47 on your way out of your 40s.
Yeah.
That, some good
references. Don't even say out of. I don't like thinking about it. Anyway, it's just time, right, Brian? Remind me. It's just time. It's just every, there's 60 seconds to every minute, right? Is that what you're
That's
saying?
Right. Yep, okay. Exactly.
All right.
It's only time.
I feel better. You've talked me down from the ledge. Daryl, play your damn game. What do you got there?
Okay. Why won't my parakeet eat blank?
Why won't my parakeet eat cheese?
Chicken.
That's another bird. I'll never eat it. It's another bird.
I'm going to say chicken. All right.
He says chicken. Okay. I say cheese.
I'm going to let you Google it and tell us all what the number one
Why
answer
won't
is.
My parakeet eat blank?
Won't yeah. my parakeet eat
bearded fruit.
Mine says eat fruit.
Yeah, but what? The second choice is a lot worse.
The second one is eat my diarrhea.
Yeah, that's what we're looking for.
First one is, says fruit. It's based on some viral video. Okay, hold on. We're going to play this.
Hi, today we're talking about native sounds that budgies make. Most of the sounds that these little guys make is this chirping that you hear here. They do some like whistles and calls. Some of their talking sounds a little conversational, but the males and some females will actually learn to talk. It sounds very parrotish. It's hard to understand exactly what they're saying, but these guys will, you know, if you speak to them and carry them around and have kind of an intimate relationship with them, they'll have sort of a garbledy conversational, hi Bob, or you know, whatever you've named your bird.
By the way, I cannot stop listening to this, so we are going to hear it. It's 2 minutes, okay? So everyone just sit still. I cannot look away because now I'm dying to know how the hell that has anything to do with diarrhea. So here we go.
These guys kind of have a constant chatter going on. If you only have one, you might have 3 or 4 hours during the day where you hear this guy sort of chirping and talking to themselves and carrying on. If you've got 2 or 3 of them, there'll be more hours during the day where they seem to carry on and on. I'd say if you have upwards of 5, there's probably never going to be silence in your house unless, sorry, this guy fell down. You're never going to have silence in your house unless it's dark.
Okay, all right.
These guys are pretty
get to
social
the diarrhea.
Creatures, and so the more more of them you have, the more noise you're going to have. And the more chirping.
No, we got it.
Generally, tolerable balance for most people.
I'm going to skip ahead a little.
The noise down. Neighbors aren't going to hear him. This guy's going to dominate on most, especially the more noise these guys.
Oh my gosh, she's really into the noise.
Compete.
Well, we found the diarrhea. That's her.
And soothing. They have a little bit of a call. They'll call out to you, which is a little bit more piercing.
Okay,
but overall, these birds have
this
a pretty
quiet. This has to be it if it's in
quiet,
here at all.
And relaxed demeanor overall, vocally anyways.
Anyways, that's it.
That's it. Nothing.
You left me hanging. Your title of the video says, "Why won't my parakeet eat my diarrhea?"
Clickbait.
Oh my gosh!
She figured out a way to make you watch her entire video.
I got punked by the freaking YouTube.
How many people have watched that video before you close it? Is it too late?
It's gone. I didn't. Oh no, 11,000 something. It was 11,000.
How many people were fooled into thinking that they were going to find out why the parakeet won't eat their diarrhea?
It sounded like what's her name from Deep Space Nine.
It wasn't her. Oh, you mean Kira?
Kira? Yeah.
Yeah.
That wasn't her. She's in a bucket somewhere with liquid Odo now.
Slathered herself with liquid Odo.
Daryl, before you go, remember while you're listening to the show, we actually have a really good story about Star Trek stuff, so don't give up on us yet. We'll talk about that a little bit later. I'd like to get your opinion, but we'll do that tomorrow. Daryl, you're gone now. This is it. Bye. Bye.
Okay. There he goes. He's out. See? Worked.
He's out, and this is in.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
A very quick news brought to you by.
Still listening after all these years. You make my hour journey to work seem like at least 45 minutes. Show loves me, though. Connor Phipps from Brighton in the UK.
Thanks, Connor. That was a sweet thing to say, dude. What a nice guy. All right, Brian, I got some quick stories for you.
Sure.
Ghostbusters was not able to topple The Secret Life of Pets at the weekend box office. Life of Pets killed it. Here are your numbers. Ghostbusters debuted at a solid $46 million. Pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Sony hailed the results as evidence the audience is responding to its new take on the decades-old property. But though it ranks as the best debut for a live-action comedy in over a year, The film will have to show some more endurance as well as resonate with foreign audiences to make a profit. After all, dusting off the ectoplasm was expensive. They paid $144 million to make Ghostbusters. And millions more to do that. But they got beat by the little animal movie there. With the, right. The talking pets and the whatnot.
And we'll have to see how that affects the summer movie draft, because Night Attack had both of those movies. They had Secret Life of Pets and Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
If Finding Dory continues to make money, I mean, so far it's the summer powerhouse,
mm-hmm.
followed pretty closely by Captain America, Civil War, and Jungle Book. Mm-hmm. But Ice Age is coming out. Star Trek Beyond, of course, is coming out.
Yep.
All Suicide these things are Squad.
Big. Actually, isn't Star Trek Beyond next weekend? Or my
The weekend 22nd, after? Yeah.
Oh, it is next weekend, yeah. That's a big deal.
This Friday, Friday.
We get to find out just how gay Sulu is.
How gay are you?
How gay are you there, Sulu? It says here, let's see, the money this other one made, $50.6 million for The Secret Life of Pets, of the traveling pants. So there's that.
Mm.
Netflix, here's the Star Trek news. Netflix scored an exclusive international rights deal for with CBS for all access Star Trek series. So the Star Trek series, the new one that's coming,
mm-hmm.
each episode of the new series will be available in 188 countries minus the US and Canada for 24 hours after the premiere. So if you live in Europe, I like to call it,
mm-hmm.
you'll get Star Trek the day after it airs, meaning brand new episodes. The day after this new series airs.
Oh, gotcha. I see what you're saying. So, right. So we get it from the CBS app, but Netflix is going to have it for all, you know, for 100, not all, but 188 countries, not including the US and Canada.
Yeah. Bummer,
within
right?
Within the day. All right. Well, we're going to get it via the,
I don't want to pay for another app. Do
well,
you?
Hell yeah. I don't either.
I don't want to do that. I want the one app I pay for. That's a
yeah.
Netflix also picked up worldwide rights to CBS's entire Star Trek catalog, acquiring rights for all 727 existing episodes of Star Trek, the original series, Star Trek Next Generation, Deep Space Nine, Voyager, and Enterprise. Those rights are available on Netflix around the world, or will be available around the world by the end of 2016. So all of the existing Trek stuff not going anywhere. That's good.
Yeah.
Because we like it here. We watch it.
We do like it here. Yes.
Yeah, we like that stuff.
It's good that we didn't get any information wrong, and we'll get angry emails or tweets or messages from Daryl that we talked about Star Trek after he was on the show.
Yeah, he's not yelling at his phone right now in consternation.
Yeah.
Or masturbation. police are looking into a Playboy model's post of naked women. This is a twist.
Okay.
Los Angeles police are investigating after a Playboy model took a photo of a naked woman in a gym locker room and posted it on social media with insulting comments about the woman's body.
This is horrible.
Dani Mathers faced widespread criticism after she shared the photo on Snapchat with the caption, quote, "If I can't unsee this, then you can't either." She later apologized, saying the post was meant to be a private message.
Bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how that works. It's real easy. Yeah. To not hit my story.
Right, exactly. You can send it to one person very, very easily by clicking that person's name. And really, seriously, why are you? Like, sending a picture of a naked woman at the gym who doesn't know she's having her picture taken.
Yeah.
And then I saw her little photo of her laughing about it, too. And it's just like, God, that's...
Yeah, it's just mean, dude.
Yes, exactly.
Mean girls. Don't be that way. Don't mm-hmm. do that. Men are... We're already objectifying women too much. We don't need your help.
Right.
You know what I mean? Let's not do that. Finally, in the story here, there's a final story here. Paul McCartney. You might be familiar with his work as a Beatle.
Oh, sure. He was a musician back in the 60s, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
known for such hits as Hey Dude and...
Scrambled Eggs.
Scrambled Eggs. That's the one. Got up. Got out of bed.
Not as a scrambled eggs. Got up and made some scrambled eggs. All that fat will go right to my legs.
I dream that I'll be able to sing more songs. Paul McCartney sent a letter to Prince, and it sold at an auction for $15,000.
Wow.
He once wrote a letter to Prince asking for donations to help create Liverpool Institute for the Performing Arts, which the Beatles legend formed in 1996. That would have been roughly... He was still married to what's-her-name before she died, right?
Yeah, Linda.
Linda. Mm-hmm. Linda McCartney seemed like the wife he liked the most, didn't she?
Wow. I don't know if you can say that. I mean, that's like...
Well, I mean, he had, like, she died. She was the one that
seemed
like...
Well, I guess it's the wife that didn't sue him,
Yeah.
The woman with the prosthetic leg that sued him afterwards and had all those problems. So I guess, I'm sure he does like Linda better right now, yes.
Yeah, it seemed at the time, anyway. Mm-hmm. And they seemed like a nice couple, and they were on The Simpsons together, and, you know, they were right, they seemed right. Like things were all right.
But, they did, yes. They were inseparable.
And her dying was sad.
Yes.
But anyway, he was asking for this money in 96. Same letter recently sold at auction for nearly $15,000. Two-page handwritten correspondence was signed by Paul McCartney and sold at Boston's RR Auction for $14,822. Here's what it said. Dear princely person.
Ugh. Dear princely person.
Ugh, I don't like this already.
Oh, see, McCartney, you're just a little too clever for your own good.
Yeah, I don't like it. He says, hi there. I know how hard it is to always be getting letters that ask for some favor or another. He spelled favor the way the British do, I think.
Good for him.
So it was not easy for me to accept the job of lead patron for the performing school arts in my hometown, Liverpool. But you guessed it. I did agree to do it.
I'm sure before that line, I'm sure Prince was guessing. Oh, I'm guessing you agreed to be the job. I'm guessing you accepted the job of lead patron for the Performing Arts School of Liverpool.
Yeah. You almost
Liverpool.
Liverpool. You know, the old Liverpool. It's a wonderful town.
Freudian slip.
Yeah. It's the old town of Liverpool.
Yeah.
He says, well, I did agree to do it. So now I'm writing to friends and all good people to try and have interest them in the scheme. You know, over there, scheme means something different. It means like plan or idea.
Right, as opposed to something subversive and
someone
tricky.
Needs to take that word back, I think. It's mm-hmm. not us for sure. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right mm-hmm. back. Hey guys, I'm going to take you a minute here and talk about a new sponsor to the show. Very excited to have these guys on. Host Papa at hostpapa.com. They have complete turnkey solutions, making it easy for small business owners like yourself. Let's say you're a guy who's got a little business. Small business is hard to define. Let's say you got 10 employees and you're just trying to make it happen. You want to get a website up and running and you want to do it quickly. They literally have everything your business needs, including lightning fast servers, professional email, automated website backups, cutting edge security. Hundreds of cloud-based productivity tools are in there as well. There's no limit to how your website can be and how awesome it will be. They have super easy to use drag and drop website builders for all their simple one-click WordPress installer. That thing is a piece of cake. Have you done that before? I've installed WordPress without the one click and it's a nightmare. So much simpler. You can have an awesome website up and running in no time at all, really. It's the best web host for small businesses with affordable pricing and award-winning support. That team's available via chat, phone, or email 24/7. 365 days a year. If you need extra help, they'll even give it to you a free dedicated 30-minute one-on-one training session with one of their experts. No other web host does that I'm aware of. They've got your back. They want to make sure you get up and running with your website and email quickly so you can focus on more important things like running your business. Shared hosting accounts start as low as $3.95 per month, $3.95 a month. That's insane. They'll even throw in a domain for free. There's no risk, because they offer unconditional 30-day money-back guarantees. If you already have a website somewhere else, they'll even help you migrate your site and your email over for free. If you're a small business owner, digital entrepreneur, or freelancer, visit hostpapa.com/morning and check it out. See what our friends at HostPapa have to offer. Again, that's hostpapa.com/morning and use the code MORNING. Get 15% off your powerful, reliable, and secure website hosting for small business owners and more. HostPapa.com. All right, we're back just in time for Brian to lay upon the grill of our ear bones a fantastic song by an indie in the middle.
That's correct. So this one came to us a different way. Normally, in almost every case up to today, it's been from labels and artists that have sent me their music. This one actually came to us from a TMS listener who did talk to this band and get permission and forward the permission over to me. They spelled my name Brian Abbott, but I don't think that's going to be a legal issue. So I think we'll be able to
will still be able to get away with it. These guys won the Ensemble of the Year from the Canadian Folk Music Awards last year. They won the John Lennon Songwriting Competition, and they won the International Songwriting Contest for folk in Canada 2003. So, big props to this band. This is the band Big Little Lions. This is a lot of fun. The song is called Fills Me Up, and it is the brother of Greg Otten that submitted this to us. So here now from Vancouver and from Cincinnati, because they play, they connected, I guess, via social media, or I don't know how they record their music being so far apart. But here's the band Big Little Lions, and their song Fills Me Up.
So occasionally you need to shave yourself. Listen, you bunch of hairy freaks, you can't have a hairy neck all the time. What's your lady friends going to think? Men, shave that neck or that beard or whatever. I got a neck thing that gets real gnarly if I don't shave it. Thankfully, I have my friends at Harry's.com to help me do that. As you probably know, I've been using Harry's for a while. I just had my birthday yesterday and got some additional Harry stuff. Blades are super sharp, provide a close, comfortable shave. And I mean that. Plus, the handle's fancy. They're fancy, but I paid less money. Go figure. All their products look extremely sleek, and the best part is it costs half as much as other razor brands. You've been in one of those stores, you're like, I need some of those Gillettes over there, and they're like, well, okay, here's a small mint you need to pay us. Let me get them out of this glass case that I have to have a special key for. None of that. You just get it shipped straight to your door. Huge amount of money, half the price at Harry's.com. Why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades when you can get that for half off? Seriously, why would you? You wouldn't, that's why. You're going to shave with Harry's.com. Go to Harry's.com, use the promo code MORNINGSTREAM. That gets you $5 off your initial purchase. So an additional $5. They're already saving you a bunch of money. You already have to shave. So do it at Harry's. Morningstream at checkout. Harry's.com. Do it today. You hairy man.
The Zan have landed on your planet. We have removed the lower life forms to prepare for colonization by the Zan.
When did all this happen?
2 days ago.
Went to college and was watching some soap operas.
The Morning Stream. Mock death at your own peril.
All right, we're back. That was great.
Isn't that fun?
Yep. Totally good.
Sweet song. So if you know of or have friends who are in an indie band and want to get me their music, all I need is permission. Just got to make sure you send me the MP3 of the song. Give me permission to play it from the band. I don't need your permission. I need the band's permission.
Yeah, their permission isn't really the problem, is it?
Right. Their permission, it's fine. I appreciate it, but it's not good enough.
There's no legal standing with your permission to play
that's
a
right.
song.
That's right.
Real quick, there's two indie bands here locally that I'm desperate to get you permission for because we've heard them recently at these outdoor concerts we have near me. Mm-hmm. And they are so good. This one band called Oka did this, and they're on Apple's. They do the Apple indie streaming thing, so they're on there and people can hear them. The cover's not there, sadly, but they do a cover of the ding 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 the Queen
Under Pressure.
Under Pressure song. I've never heard a cooler cover of Under
really?
Pressure.
Really? Oh
life.
Man, I'd love to hear it.
It was so cool. So yeah, one of these days here, you and I'll hook that up.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah,
also,
we'll hear it.
Also a band here called Van Lady Love. That's it. That is also real, real good. And I got to get some of that stuff. Anyway.
Cool.
We're going to call our good buddy, Steven Schleicher. You know him. You love him. You want more of him. Steven Schleicher. There he is. And he's going to talk to us about stuff. He's got some things. Whoa. What happened there? I think Brian hung up on me. Hold on.
I'll just join this way.
That's weird.
You hung up on me and trying to call Steven.
All I did was add him to the call and it hung you up. That's super funky. Okay,
and it looks like he's not on anymore either.
Let me try that again.
Okay.
Okay, did that work that time? I did the exact same thing. Don't ask me. That was really weird. Skype, F off. You're a piece of poop. Here's this. Steven Schleicher on the line. Hello. Oh, I briefly saw a video of his head and then it went away.
Big fat head.
It was there only for a second. I got all excited. Now it's you with a bunch of hair again. Weird.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. How long has it been since you shaved that noggin of yours?
Saturday.
Oh. No, I mean like since you used to have like a ton of hair on there, but you've been kind of not.
When was that?
I don't know.
It was April.
Oh. All right. Well, I like the new look. I think it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably because you take a look at Brian all day and
you look like
bald is beautiful.
Your old photo makes me think of like an accountant and your hair now or your lack of hair now makes you look like somebody who's here to collect money or break my legs. I kind of like it. It's a good transition.
Hey, Skit, you owe me some money. Sure would be bad if something happened to your fence over there.
They're both in the they're still both in the financial world, so it's fine.
Oh, okay.
Either way. Steven Schleicher comes on the show from Majorspoilers.com, talks about the latest and greatest in pop culture, movies, comics, and everything else. And, man, would we be remiss if we didn't talk about some of what happened at the Star Wars Celebration deal.
Yeah.
I felt like a much quieter affair given how much focus last year's had, obviously, ahead of the release of Episode 7.
Right. Two problems with that. First, it was in Europe, so you didn't get the big Anaheim brouhaha like they have. Mm-hmm. They did stream, StarWars.com did stream all of the panels that were there. Problem was, because of the time shift, if you're on the West Coast, you were having to get up at like 2, 3 o'clock in the morning to watch that stuff.
Yeah.
And it was done, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it was done by noon most days.
Mm.
The good thing is you can go to StarWars.com and they have all the individual panels broken out now so that you can watch them. So if you want to watch the Rogue One panel, if you want to watch the Star Wars Rebels panel, you can watch that. The one that I found most fascinating, if you're into film history and special effects, there's one called Star Wars Archaeology where the special effects producers had to go back and try to accurately recreate all of the look and the feel of the original episode 4 movie down to like the trench run, the bomber trench run of the Death Star.
Oh, wow.
And try to make it as accurate as possible to the original. It's fascinating to see all the work that went into to doing that.
Wow, I love that kind of stuff. That's so cool. Well, so one thing that came out of this was, I think we all knew it was happening, but the young Han Solo film confirmed, and the actor who's playing him.
Right.
That all got confirmed. Can I tell you this? This kid sure seems a lot more excited about Star Wars than Harrison Ford ever did. He is stoked, man.
Yeah. This is his name is Alden. What's his name? Ehrenreich, I think is how you say his name.
Yeah.
And if you don't know him, that's fine, because a lot of people didn't go see Hail Caesar when it came out into theaters, the Coen Brothers movie.
Yeah.
But he played Hobie Doyle, a B-Western cowboy movie star that kind of plays an important role in the movie, or a big role in the movie. He's a really great actor. If you see Hail Caesar, yes, George Clooney is great. Yes, the kid from The Goonies is great. But Alden, who played Hobie Doyle, really steals the show. And if that's the kind of energy that he's bringing to the young Han Solo movie, it's going to be a great addition to the Star Wars universe.
Yeah, I think he looks I saw part of the panel. He just seems jazzed to do it. He has a great look for it. He's got that swagger already.
Mm-hmm.
Young, handsome guy, totally could come off as Han Solo. And he's of the age that, doesn't that give us some hints as to what we think the movie's going to be? Like, this isn't going to be Han Solo months before he meets Luke. This is going to be like way long.
Yeah, that's going to be several years before that happens. Yeah,
probably the game that he lost the Millennium Falcon to. Probably a young Lando Calrissian in there as well.
I hope so.
Do you want to see the Kessel Run episode, or do you want that just to be a nice tall tale story that Han Solo tells people?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah, I see. I totally see both sides on that. I mean, it is fun to have it be his. His great white whale story. Like,
whole many Bothans died thing. We're getting that with Rogue One.
No, we're not.
Oh, no, we're not. You're right. What are we getting? We're getting stuff that has been alluded to, is what I'm saying. Before,
right. The Bothans one is Return of the Jedi.
Right.
If you watch the opening credits to episode 4, at the very last paragraph, it talks about these people who had stolen the plans and had gotten them to Princess Leia. This is their tale.
Yeah. Right.
And the cool thing is they unveiled a new poster for Rogue One, a Star Wars story, at the event. And it looks fantastic.
It's really
and you're going
to
see a lot more photos coming out of this in the coming months. They shot a lot of this in the Maldives. So you've got a tropical paradise. And just you see these shots of stormtroopers walking through crystal clear water with stormy backgrounds and a giant Death Star looming in the background. It just really looks cool.
Like a big day moon up there.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah.
It's super cool.
Apparently filmed in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a very strange setting, actually, for a Star Wars planet. This is one they haven't messed with much.
No, they haven't really. You get desert, you get ice planets,
yeah. Uh-huh.
And you get a swamp planet, and then you get one that's up in the clouds, and this is the first time you see anything in tropical paradise. Even on the animated series, a lot of times you're not going into places like this, because in 3D animated series, vegetation very hard to render and very large to pull off. So
yeah,
well, they're finally on Ryza. It's really good to finally see Star Wars take on another pleasure planet.
Yeah, I'm looking for like diaper people, but I don't see them anywhere. That's really cool. That's a rad poster. I would make that a wallpaper if it wasn't vertical instead of horizontal.
Look for there will be one of just the stormtroopers walking through the water. They showed this at the panel, and it'll start appearing on billboards across the United States here in the next month or so.
Cool.
And that one I'm sure will be up for a wallpaper somewhere, because it just looks spectacular.
So watertight stormtrooper suits confirmed?
No, actually, they're wearing the normal stupid stormtrooper outfits wading through water. And it's like, man, one thing you never do is get your feet wet
when
you're in the infantry. And these guys are just wading through knee-deep water.
They're going to get a bunch of foot rot, man. That's bad. We know did no one learn anything from Vietnam? Come on now.
Exactly.
All right. Well, that looks really cool. I'm very excited about it.
The other thing that they showed was a trailer for the season 3 of Star Wars Rebels. Now, this will be a little bit of a spoiler if nobody wants to be spoiled, but we all know that Lucasfilm, once they were acquired by Disney, pretty much wiped out the expanded universe, and that upset a lot of people. There's one character that's coming to season 3 of Star Wars Rebels that a lot of people are super excited about. Admiral Thrawn.
Whoa.
Yay.
It's Smurf Blue Man.
Yeah. Right. So if you were excited about everything that happened in that mega story that everyone loves, you're going to see some Thrawn action.
That's a sign of them saying, hey, remember all that extended fiction we said was completely moot at this point? Good news. Some of it isn't.
My guess is it's they're picking and choosing the things that they like.
Yeah. But aren't you glad to see him pull like a really very popular character like that and get some use out of him?
Oh yeah, it'll be totally awesome. Also, if you listen closely, one of the episodes they're going in to bust out some kids that are in the academy, and one of those characters happens to be Wedge Antilles.
No way.
Yeah.
Has he got a mustache?
I don't know. You don't see it, but they're just like, hey, here are the people that that we have to get out of the academy. And they mentioned Wedge's name in that. So if you want to know how Wedge got into with the Rebels, then here you go.
I have to admit, I haven't seen a single Rebels episode. So my plan is to just binge the hell out of
that. The first half of the first season, I think, is not that great. Mm. But then from the midpoint of the first season onward, it has been nothing but awesome. Mm. And it ties into the Clone Wars stuff. So it's got Ahsoka and it's got some other people from that series. And there is a main character, the one played by, what's his name? Who was in Forrest Gump? Forrest Whitaker.
Yeah. Forrest Whitaker was in Forrest Gump, was he?
Maybe not.
No, I don't think so. You're talking about the Bubba Gump guy, the Gump Shrimp guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the, he's on Justified, but I can't think of his name.
Okay, so Forrest Whitaker is in Rogue One, correct? Am I mistaken?
Forrest Whitaker is definitely in Rogue One, yes.
His character that he plays in Rogue One is actually a character you see in Season 2 of Star Wars Rebels.
Oh, cool, dude.
Yeah, so if you want to see some tie-ins, how they're tying animated universe back into the main movie universe, that character is one of them.
I love Forrest Whitaker. Did he do is he voicing it then? Is he in it?
No, he doesn't voice it in the animated series.
Oh, that's too bad.
Because the character is then much older.
They should have asked him back when he was doing Battlefield Earth, because that was so bad that he would do anything to pay the bills at that point. But anyway, this is exciting. I want to watch this entire thing, and I haven't watched any of it, and I feel bad that I haven't.
You check it out. Definitely check it out. It might be worth checking out before Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, arrives in December.
Nice.
Before we get out of here,
yeah.
One more thing to make Daryl scream at his phone about.
Oh, good.
Star Wars Beyond opens this week.
Yeah.
Fourth Star Wars movie was just announced this morning.
Star Trek movie
just announced this morning.
Sorry. Yeah. And what was it?
They don't have a title for it, but Chris Pine will be meeting Chris Hemsworth, his father, in this new movie.
Oh, time travel bullshit.
Little time travel stuff. Mm. But Chris Hemsworth will be reprising his role as Kirk's father.
Is it you? It's you two I talked to about this. One of you doesn't like time travel, and the other one does.
No, I love time travel.
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Yeah, you love it, and Brian's very skeptical of how it gets done.
Yeah, I mean, if it's done right, I like it. If it's not, I don't.
Yeah, and we'll see how this goes. Star Trek time travel is a real hit-and-miss bag of cheese for me.
Ah, come on. Whales was fun.
Whales was a giant candy bar in the sky telling people what to do. It sucked. Yeah. It's not good.
The penis is evil. Oh, wrong movie.
Although, there's your mashup, dude. I would go, you know what? I'd save whales if a giant head told me the penis was evil and barfed up guns on me or whatever it did. Well, this is all great news. And more of this can be found in detail at majorspoilers.com as usual. Is there anything people should be looking out for right now?
If you follow us on Twitter this week, be prepared because your timeline will be flooded with San Diego Comic-Con coverage, which is probably what you want.
Yeah. That starts today, right?
That starts on Wednesday as preview night, and then it'll run through Sunday afternoon.
Oh, that's right. I just know people are already there kind of.
Oh, yeah. People are geared up. And if you follow the hashtag SDCC or SDCC2016, on Twitter, it's already going. And by Saturday morning when the Hall H stuff starts, that Twitter feed will be updating so fast you won't even be able to. It'll just be a big blur.
Many of my friends who normally booth there are not doing it this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have all pulled out. Kurtz, Hammaker, all my good buddies who usually have like permanent standing place to be at Comic-Con have decided to not do it.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you want comic book news, you're not going to get it at San Diego Comic-Con. What you will get at the publishers panels are, here are new series and here are the creators, but they're not going to tell you anything about the series, right? They're going to give you some broad log line, right, of what this series is about. So you're not going to get anything there. And if you want more detail on it, you'll actually find it on sites like Major Spoilers, either right before the event, like Boom Studios is releasing most of their announcements before the convention, or immediately following the convention. Mm. If you want to go for big movie news stuff and you want to see celebrities, that's what Hall H is for. And if you were wanting to see the exclusive trailer stuff, a lot of that will appear within an hour to 2 days after the convention is over. So you'll be able to see those trailer things online very soon. So really the big push, I think, to go to San Diego Comic-Con is to meet creators and get autographs and to see the fantastic cosplay that shows up there each year.
Yeah, and then the big movie, TV stuff and all that.
Yeah,
I you know, it's funny because if you give up a booth that you've had for years, you kind of give it up for life. It's done.
Yeah, you basically don't get it back.
And so it's just these smaller creators I talk to that just aren't, they're not breaking even anymore on it.
No,
it's just
it costs,
too much.
They've upped their prices every year for booth space. And, you know, there are people like Mile High Comics. Every year he's like, this is the last year I'm coming here because I never make my money. And then he breaks even by the time he's done.
Yeah,
so.
I always love listening to him complain, though.
You know, right.
Every year, it's always a thing you can count on. Cosplay, movie announcements, and that guy complaining.
It's so interesting with San Diego Comic-Con, and we'll probably maybe address this next week when final numbers come in. But, you know, with so many other major conventions going on, you've got the New York Comic-Con, C2E2 in Chicago, the Denver Comic-Con, Emerald City, and Salt Lake City Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. Those are some mega conventions these days that are drawing in as much, if not more people than the San Diego convention has.
Yeah. And it's starting to also, the people that used to road trip it to go to San Diego are now like, well, no, there's one in my backyard now. I'll just go to that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know. I think San Diego still has a lot of relevance and a lot of people still hold it as the grandfather of all Comic-Cons. Mm-hmm. But I think that we're starting to see its superpower dwindle.
Wouldn't you like to go back to like that 1972 one or whenever it started, when there was like, it, you know, 100 people and like tiny little tables and
get Jack Kirby to sign all your comics.
Oh, it would have been amazing. That would have been amazing.
Walk up
to
Stan Lee and be able to sit and have dinner with him.
I hope
people show up to Comic-Con.
See, that's the time travel movie I want to see. I want to go back in time and do that. Well, this is all excellent, and Major Spoilers is the place I will have with me all the time for Comic-Con coverage. So should you folks. Major Spoilers on Twitter. Steven, always a pleasure. Take it easy and keep shaving that head, man.
Bye, guys.
See you.
All right, we'll see you later. I'm sending you a video. I didn't even know it.
Yeah, thanks, though.
I don't know. I don't know what's going
on
here.
You look old.
I know. I look a year older.
A whole year older.
Such a shit show. How come? Oh, that's weird.
Like the chart, you're a standing desk, though. That's nice.
Yeah,
that's
I'm good. Standing today. Mm-hmm. Which is good. Nice. I stood all day Thursday. I've decided to stand during the morning shows. And,
there you go. See?
Save the sitting for later, because what happens is usually I'll sit during the morning show and then try to stand the rest of the day, and for some reason that combo isn't working very well for me.
Yeah. No, that's the way to do it is at noon I switch and I sit.
That's good. Get on that ass. All right, we got an email. This is an email from War Cow before we leave. He says this. Hey, Scyther and Butterfree. What's a Scyther and what's Butterfree?
Those are Pokemans.
Oh, are those Pokemans? I don't know. I don't know anything about any of that. I have Flame Horse. Fish.
Floppy fish.
I renamed some of mine. So,
did you? Yeah. I haven't bothered.
It's kind of fun. The only downside of it is it screws up your ordering when you do A to Z, when you're trying to like cash them in.
Find all your dupes. Yeah, no kidding.
It's a bad way to do that, actually, yeah. I learned. I did name one Donald Trump because he looked like he had a bad hairpiece. Anyway, just wanted to address the comment that you made on Monday's show about the Pokemon Company and Nintendo. So the Pokemon Company is a subsidiary of Game Freak, which is a subsidiary of Nintendo. Similar to how HAL Laboratories is owned by Nintendo. Nintendo is the publicly traded head company that they divide their company into smaller companies. All of them are part of Nintendo, but they divide them up to allow them to specialize. This is similar to the Activision and Blizzard arrangement, or Hasbro and Wizards of the Coast. This is also why Game Freak, HAL Laboratories, and the Pokemon Company exclusively work on Nintendo products. Nintendo recently started putting out mobile games, all of which have been successful so far. While Go is the most successful so far, Pokemon Shuffle is available on mobile as well, as announced releases for Pokemon Trozai.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's like their Match 3 Pokemon game that I had on the old Game Boy Color.
Oh, I'll play that.
Yes.
Holy shit, I'll play that. And Pokemon Picross, which I'll also play. I love Picross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go Team Valor and don't shove a Slowbro workout. Yeah, no, that's good information. He's totally right. It is a weird setup, though. The funny thing about the story isn't so much that... It's just weird that Nintendo's logo is nowhere on that mobile app. Like, nowhere.
Right.
They don't even have... Like, there's some weird credit screen where they show Game Freak, the Nintendo, or the Pokemon Company, and then copyright Nintendo at the bottom, but none of it is prominent. So it's very strange. Also... The one I'm looking forward to the most is they're putting out a, what's the name of the stupid game? Animal Crossing game on here. So you're getting an Animal Crossing mobile game coming soon.
Very excited about that.
Send us your fine emails just like this guy did. Warcow is his name. You can send those to themorningstream@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody who supports us on patreon.com/TMS. You're wonderful people. AlphaGeekRadio.com, awesome. DiamondClub.tv. You guys are rad, too, because you simulcast the show live every morning. FrogPants.com/TMS is our website. You can call us, leave us voicemails at 801-471-0462, and follow us on Twitter, Coverville, Scott Johnson, and Morning Stream.
Mm-hmm.
I think we should...
Is there a hotline today?
Yeah. Oh, so glad you said that.
Tree traveling?
There is, but it's at noon today. So noon today, in an hour and a half, Jerry and I will be doing Hotline Monday. He's traveling to the convention, and there's a lot of stuff going on, so we had to bump it. So today, it is not in the afternoon at 3. It's in an hour and a half right here at frogpants.com/live. So anybody who is listening live right now that wants to hang around and be a part of that and call in and everything else, we will be here in about an hour and a half.
That is awesome. I will be listening to that while I'm bike riding today. That's perfect.
Lovely.
Perfect, Scott. You've done it.
Use that data plan, son.
That's right.
I'm also going to make a recommendation to check out this weekend's, although it's not up yet. I'll put it up right after the show. But Film Sack was really, really fun this weekend. We talked about the film. I don't remember. What was the movie? Oh, Cujo.
Cujo, yeah.
And it was a blast. It was one of my favorite episodes we've done. So
fun.
Yeah. Y'all should check that out, filmsack.com. All right, let's get out of here. You got some music for me?
Sure I do. This one's going out to Sardonis Delacroix. Says, hi, bye, guys. July 18th is my 32nd birthday. Coverville did such a great job with a request for my birthday celebrating my gay death 2 years ago, yet I kept forgetting to put in the request this year because I couldn't find the page. But I finally located it at 0200 while dealing with a formaldehyde spill at work. I have nothing clever to say or add because this is so last minute, and I'm trying to type this under the radar. Bye-bye, guys. Signed, Sardonis Delacroix.
All right.
There's so much fun in that email that I'll just let you suss it out for yourself. What they requested, though, is any cover converted into an EDM happy/bouncy/upbeat masterpiece. The more happy hardcore, the better. So electronic dance music version of a popular song. I've got it. I've got the perfect one.
Dip, 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 dip.
Dip, 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 dip. This one is performed by Electro Tea Machines. It's from the album Rock and Rave, which came out in 2009. Scott, I should warn you, you'll probably need to fade this one out at the end because it's got a very abrupt ending that doesn't seem to make sense because the album was a continuous mix of music. So it's not a smooth finish.
Gotcha.
Originally done by Nirvana. This is Electro Tea Machines and their cover of Lithium.
I'm so happy, cause today I found my friends, they're in my head. I'm so ugly, that's okay, cause so are you. We broke all mirrors, Sunday morning, it's every day for all I care. And I'm not scared, light my candles in a cause I found God. Yeah.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
We will now prepare your planet for habitation by the Zans.